This year, the solstice arrives on Sunday, December 21st, 10 days from now at 12.04 p.m. GMT. On that day, the shortest of the year, at that particular moment, the sun will be at its farthest point south. It's the dawn of winter, officially. For many people, these gray, dark days are tough. Some suffer from what's called solstice blues or the winter blues, what doctors call seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. We stave it off with festivals of light and the festivities of the season, but this year, writes Boston Globe columnist James Carroll, we wait, not just for light, but for the hope of economic and political revival. So tell us, how are you dealing with these dark gray days? What do you do to mark the solstice? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. James Carroll is a columnist for the Boston Globe, the author of Practicing Catholic, which will be on store shelves this spring. You can find a link to his article on surviving the dark winter solstice on our website at npr.org. And James Carroll with us today from the studios of our member station in Boston, WBUR. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be here.
And that waiting that you wrote about, you write, of course, waiting is normally a passive activity, but maybe not this year.
Well, it's striking, don't you think, that the exuberance, the one could almost say exaltation of the election season did so efficiently give way to this in-between stasis, this feeling that's just quite palpable abroad, in the air almost, waiting for something new to start. It's obviously being felt in our political conversation every day. But there's also a way in which the economy has slipped into this in-between period. We had the really anxiety-provoking weeks of October and November when we really wondered if the economy was falling off a cliff, and it didn't seem to quite go over the edge. And yet now we're in this in-between time when the economy has not begun to recover. The worst may be behind us, but we're waiting to find out, aren't we? So waiting has emerged as a powerful political, economic, daily theme in our lives, and it's very striking that it should fall in this time of the year when waiting defines so much of what we experience.
Curious, you write. Curious, isn't it, that depression is the word for both economic collapse and nervous breakdown?
Well, that's true too, isn't it? When referring to the economy, commentators have invoked the memory of the Depression, somewhat breathlessly, hoping to God that we don't return to it. And yet, this is also the time when that sadness that can almost seem appropriate to the season is an experience of depression. It does strike the ear that one word has reference to both experiences, economic and emotional.
And you talked about just a moment ago how we invoke the depression in hopes of staving it off in the same way that we light the lights in these dark days of the season in hoping of staving away the dark.
Well, it's true. Don't you find where you are that the seasonal lights are just so quite glorious? The little white bulbs on the trees, now the festive lights attached to the various holidays. It's impossible, in a way, not to see the long, dark night as a source of special seasonal beauty. Certainly that's true here in Boston, where we have boulevards gloriously lit. And there is a kind of dogged refusal of the human spirit to sink under the weight of darkness and to sink under the weight of what's missing. I mean, that is what, of course, is so palpable today. What is missing? Look at all that is missing. And it's not just us. It's not just the 21st century. This is an experience human beings have had since before history, from all we know. The ancient monuments of the first astronomers suggest this kind of longing for, well, the return of the light, the return of warmth, longing for what doesn't exist yet. In religious terms, most of the great religions of the world have found ways to incorporate these themes, obviously so in Christianity's case. This is the season of Advent, as Christians say, and of course the word Advent means coming, waiting for something to come. It's an astonishingly coherent season. Human imagination has made a lot of it.
We're talking with James Carroll of the Boston Globe. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Mary on the line. Mary with us in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm really glad that you chose this topic today because I've been thinking a lot about the fact that people just aren't allowed to shut down anymore in our society. In the old days, we would farm all summer or hunt or do whatever we had to do and save up stuff, and then we really didn't have to do anything during the winter except stay alive. And I think that our culture, of course, and the way we work today is that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But there's a big part of us through our huge, long history of, you know, and our development as a species that requires this shutting down, this welcoming of the dark as a time to just regroup.
To regroup. Well, that's it's another way of waiting, isn't it, James Carroll?
Yes, it's true. And it's a wonderful observation, Mary, that you make. And one of the pains of our lives today is that we have lost the capacity to do that shutting down, mm-hmm. to take it easy, to stop and look. And that's one of the troubles we have with this season, isn't it? How frantic we all get, rushing from chore to chore and this
right.
to that.
I really feel that it's one of the main reasons that we have some of these sicknesses in our society, you know, lots of depression, lots of anxiety. People don't feel okay about the fact that they maybe can just do nothing. I mean, of course, they can't because they have to go to work and they have to pick up the kids and they have to do all the stuff that we plan so rigorously into our schedules. But given time to do nothing or do something, people invariably choose something.
Well, let me make an observation tied to our politics, very much picking up on your thought, which is, you notice how impatient everybody is because the Bush administration hasn't left and the Obama administration hasn't begun, and people are even saying we should amend the Constitution to make for an immediate succession. We can't stand the interlude, the time between, the time when not much happens, and yet it's a profoundly healthy a structure of time. It's a very good thing for us as a people to stop yeah. in this way and to really actually step back a moment and let's think about who we are, what we want to become, how we recover from the last 8 years, what we want out of the next 4 years. It's actually a very precious time, I would say, and nature's kind of inviting us to take it.
I think so, too. I mean, look, it's just like the tide comes in, the tide goes out. Well, there's a slack tide in between where nothing really happens. And I think that that's something that's completely lost in Western culture. So.
You could be one of those astronomers on the banks of the Nile 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, observing the connections between the movements of the tides and the movements of the heavenly bodies, Mary.
Well, I suppose I could.
I was just going to suggest that Mary was calling us from Stonehenge, but
yeah, right.
Well, that would be cool. That would be great.
That'd be a great place to spend the solstice, Mary.
They would very much understand what we're talking about at Stonehenge.
Another email, this one from Oregon as well, where Max in Hillsboro writes, we drink a variety of holiday beers crafted by local brewers. I actually look forward to these shorter days because these dark, hoppy libations become available. And, well, I guess those kinds of celebrations, too, are another part of the axis of the solstice, James Carroll.
It's true. After all, what we're after is lightheadedness. And however we get it, we value it. We can have the lightheadedness of a festive party. But there's also the lightheadedness that people get when they go shopping. It's no accident that shopping is the main activity, the main non-professional activity that certainly in America we indulge in this period. It's partly because the unconscious pressures of this darkness make us vulnerable to wanting, to what we don't have. But it's also because there is a kind of effervescence that's available to us when we hit the store, and you see that all around.
James Carroll, thanks very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Happy solstice.
Same to you.
James Carroll, a columnist for the Boston Globe, joined us from WBUR, our member station in Boston. His new book, Practicing Catholic, will be available come spring. Tomorrow, Joe Palca will be here. He's the guest host tomorrow on Science Friday. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.